Actually, as we begin our sermon this morning, I want to just share with you the mission of our church. I want to always keep this in front of us. Why are we here? This is the why, the why. And the why is the motivation of why we gather on Sundays, Wednesdays, different days of the week. So let's just share the mission of the church. The mission of Journey Church is that we want to proclaim Jesus. How many agree that we should be proclaiming Jesus? Amen. Because the only hope we have is in the person of Jesus Christ. I love it. Salvation and no other name but Jesus. But it doesn't stop there. And we want to help people grow in their relationship with Christ. I want to let you know at this church, we're very serious about having a relationship with Jesus. We're not so much into religion. Religion is man's attempt to get to God. But having a relationship, Christianity, is God's attempt to get to us. And he did that through sending his son. So how many people know that in every single relationship, there's different levels? Amen? In every relationship, there's different levels. For example, if you're married, you know exactly what I'm talking about. There's different levels in that relationship. Heather and I are going to be celebrating 23 years of marriage here shortly, and that's great. But how many people know Heather and I are at a totally different level of relationship than when we met for the first time in 1994, right? It's totally different. There's been a lot of life. There's been a lot of ups. There's been a lot of challenges. There's just been a lot of just grinding it out. And through all that, you grow. You grow from being just acquaintances. Now you grow to this level of relationship where you're growing stronger together, stronger together. So that's true of earthly relationships. But I want to let you know that this is certainly true when it comes to your relationship with Jesus Christ. I want to let you know today that in your relationship with Jesus, there's going to be certain levels. There's going to be different levels, or we could say this, there's going to be different circles of relationship, okay? For example, yes, there's different circles of relationship right there. And I want you to keep that slide on the screen because that slide represents that in your relationship with Jesus, what we see throughout the Gospels in the life of Christ, primarily in his 3 years of earthly ministry, we see that there's at least six different recorded circles of relationship that were built around Christ. And I want to give just a disclaimer as we begin this series that these are not all new ideas that originate with me, but I'm currently reading this book called The One Jesus Loves by Robert Crosby. This is an outstanding, outstanding book. If you want to buy it, I'm sure there's a lot of ways that you can get your hands on it, The One That Jesus Loves. And this is where we're going to get the material for this series as we go into the next 6 weeks, including today, The One That Jesus Loves. Because in the book, Crosby tells us that when it comes to a relationship with Jesus, there's six different circles, okay? So what I want to do is I just want to give a quick glance at it, then we'll spend the rest of the day talking about the outer circle, okay? Six circles of relationship. Number one, the first circle, the outer circle, is called the crowds, okay? I'm not going to say much about that now because we'll say a lot about that in the message this morning. The second circle of relationship is called the 5,000. How many people have heard that in the Gospels before, the 5,000? And this represents those who follow Jesus to places of feeding and places of healing, okay? The third circle is called the 70. In some translations, you'll see it's called the 72. And this group represents those who follow Jesus to places of working and also places of serving. They were working for Jesus. They were serving Christ. The fourth circle, I'm sure we've all heard of before, it's called the 12, in reference to the 12 disciples. And this represents those who walked with Jesus where they would leave everything behind. They left everything. They left their occupation, their families, and they followed Jesus. Don't worry, we're not going to call you to do that. So everybody say, oh, thank God, okay? But in the fifth circle is called the three. By the way, does anybody know the name of the three? Anybody? The three disciples that were closer to Jesus than the other? Everybody? Anyone? Peter, James, and John. That's the three. That represents those who followed Jesus to places of great glory, the transfiguration. But with great glory, there also comes great suffering. And then the sixth and final circle that we'll talk about 6 weeks from today, we'll talk about the one. And that's where we get to hear the one that Jesus loved. By the way, the gospel writer John said this about himself, the one that Jesus loved, okay? And this represents a place of sacrificial love, okay? So this is what I want you to do. We're just going to settle into this series. It's going to be very, very powerful. It's going to be very, very helpful. I want to encourage you to do your very best. You're here on week one, so bravo. But I want to encourage you to do your best for the next 5 weeks to say, hey, I'm going to be there. And for chance you can't be there, I know work schedules and different other things come into our life. All these messages will be online so that you can go and you can hear the next message, because I want you to see the whole package of these six circles of relationship, okay? But this is what I want you to do as we go on this journey, because it's going to be 6 weeks. We're going to go on this journey, and this is what I'm just hoping that you'll do, okay? And that is, I want you to ask this question to yourself. It's on the screen. The question I want you to ask yourself during the next 6 weeks is this: what circle am I currently in? What circle am I currently in? And we're going to look at each one, and I hope you'll be able to see clarity, that you'll say to yourself, well, that's me. That's where I'm at. I'm there. I'm there, okay? So you'll be able to look at that. But I want you to ask yourself, what circle are you currently in, okay? And here's the deal. Regardless of where you're at this morning, does everybody hear me? Regardless of where you're at this morning, this is what I want to tell you. That is that Jesus is calling you closer. Do you know that? Jesus is calling you closer regardless of where you're at today. You say, well, I'm on that most outside circle. Well, regardless, or I'm closer to the middle. Regardless, Jesus is calling you to a place of greater intimacy. He's calling you to a place of greater friendship. I want to let you know, Jesus is crazy about you. He's crazy about you. He loves you so much. He cares for you so much. And he is calling you today. He is calling you. Just listen with your spiritual ears this morning. Jesus is calling you closer to himself. And I love the quote from Oswald Sanders. Look at this quote. He says, hey guys, we're as close to Jesus as we choose to be. At the end of the day, that's what it's really all about. You and I, me, you, all of us, your children, your spouse, we're all as close to Jesus as we choose to be. Jesus is there. He's waiting. He's desiring. He's willing. But it's all up to us. What will we do? And it reminds me of a verse in James that if we'll draw near to God, what does the Bible say? He'll draw near to us. So I just want to start this today. We're going to look at this first circle. It's the outer circle, and it's called the crowds. Everybody, let's just say that together, the crowds, okay? So what we're going to do is I'm just going to read a scripture to you that kind of defines where we get this thought from. And the scripture is found in Matthew chapter 4, and we're going to read verses 23, 24, and 25. Let's begin the reading this morning. It says, Jesus traveled throughout the region of Galilee. He was teaching in the synagogues and announcing the good news about the kingdom, and he healed every kind of disease and illness. News about him spread as far as Syria, and people soon began bringing all who were sick, and whatever their sickness or disease, or if they were demon-possessed or paralyzed, it says that he healed them all. Verse 25, large crowds followed him wherever he went, people from Galilee, the 10 towns, Jerusalem, from all over Judea and east of the Jordan River. I want us to keep it on that slide quickly, or just for a second. Look at the first two words, large crowds. The outer circle was made up of the large crowd, okay? And scholars, Bible scholars, all agree that those crowds probably numbered tens of thousands of people. Tens of thousands of people, perhaps even more than that. I mean, the crowds were big, okay? On one occasion, On one occasion, the Pharisees, who were not really big fans of Jesus, they really didn't care for him, but they were so astonished by the size of the crowds that look what they say in John 12:19. These words in John 12:19, they said, "Look, everyone has gone after him." I mean, they were seeing Jesus, they were hearing, and the people, it was just like the newest trend. It was the hottest thing. Everybody was going after Jesus. It was called the crowds. Let me ask you a question here this morning. What is the biggest crowd that you've ever been a part of? Has it been a concert? Has it been maybe a sporting event or maybe some kind of political venue? But what's the largest crowd that you have ever been a part of? Think of that in your mind. Just get a picture of it. What's the largest crowd that I've ever been a part of? For me, I was thinking about that this week, and my mind automatically went back to October of 1987. Because in October 1987, I had just gotten out of the Air Force, and I went to college at North Central University, which is located just in Minneapolis, Minnesota. And I remember in October of that year, the Twins were in the World Series. Does anybody remember that? The 1987 Twins in the World Series. And I remember the night. It was Game 7, and it was the Twins versus, does anybody remember? It was the Cardinals. Wow, great memory. It was the Cardinals. And I remember that night, me and my college friends, we were in a dormitory room, and the Twins won Game 7, and here was our idea. We're going to go downtown Minneapolis because just about four blocks north of North Central University was the Metrodome. So we said, we're going to be a part of the crowd. So we all flew, and we just went, and it was just, has anybody ever been a part of a celebration like that? It was so much fun. It was as though everyone was friends. People you've never seen before were giving each other high fives, and people were hugging each other, and people were yelling in each other's face, and people were standing on cars and climbing lampposts. It was a lot of fun. I had a great time. So anyway, we went down there, and we were just a part of the crowd. I really didn't care less about the Twins, to be honest with you. I'm glad they won because we had a great party. But I was just a part of the crowd, and here's what happened. Just a few days after that, I was in the dining hall at North Central, ready to just in line to eat dinner, and some kid ran in and he called me by my nickname, which will remain quiet. Okay, he called me by my nickname, and he said, "Hey, did you see that you're in Sports Illustrated?" I was like, wow, I didn't think that game last week was that great. But anyway, it wasn't about that. Here it was. They had taken photos of the crowd in downtown Minneapolis that night. And I won't tell you what I was doing and what I was wearing or wasn't wearing, okay? But anyway, we were just having a great, great time celebrating. And here it was. I was in Sports Illustrated. That's my claim to fame. And before you laugh too many times or too loud, here's my question to you. Have you ever been in Sports Illustrated? Probably not, okay? But I was, and it wasn't about me even liking a certain team. It was all because I was a part of the crowd. I was a part of the crowd. So I want to let you know that when it comes to this crowd that we're talking about with a relationship with Jesus, the crowd of those six circles was the largest, and it was the most impressive in size, okay? And Jesus, here's why. He's permeating culture. I mean, the buzz around him, everybody's talking about Jesus, Jesus. Have you seen, have you heard what's happening? And actually, it was in the crowds that people had their first opportunity to see Jesus or the first opportunity to hear about Jesus as a part of the crowd. So here's my question. Why were the crowds following Jesus? There's really two reasons why people were just all over the place, tens of thousands of people. Two reasons, because they wanted to see what he might do. They wanted to see what Jesus might do. They've heard of signs, wonders, miracles. They heard of the lame walking, the blind seeing. They heard about people who were demonic being delivered. I mean, they wanted to see. They wanted to be a part of it. And they wanted to see what Jesus might do next. Second thing is they wanted to hear what Jesus might say next. Because the Bible records that when Jesus spoke, it was powerful. It says that he spoke as one with great authority, with great power, with great conviction, with great life. And when Jesus would teach, people were just drawn like a moth drawn to a light at night. I mean, they wanted to hear. They wanted to see. They simply, basically just wanted to check things out. It was the talk of the town. It was the talk of that region, okay? So I want to let you know that's the crowds, the outermost circle. When it came to commitment, these people weren't very committed. It wasn't about commitment. They were loosely committed bunch. They just wanted to see. They just wanted to hear. But here's the cool thing nonetheless, and that is many of the followers began their journey by being a part of the crowd. Many of the followers began their journey, how? By being a part of the crowd. I want you to hear that loud and clear this morning. They began their journey as a part of the crowd. So as I was thinking about that this week, I said, what does this mean to us as a church? And here's what I want to talk about the next few minutes. And that is, are we a church where people can begin their journey? So I want us to just think about that this morning. Are we a church where people can begin their journey? Are we a church where a crowd can come and just check things out? They just want to check out Jesus. They just want to kick the tires. They just want to come and see. Is this a place where people can just come and see? Is this a place where people can say, yes, I'm not sure about Jesus. I've heard certain things. I've seen certain things, certain people. But is this a place where people can begin their journey? And I want to let you know, if we're going to be a place where people can begin their journey, there's three things that we need to do as a church. And I just want you to write these down if you want to. If not, I would encourage you to do so anyway. Okay, let's go. Three things we need to do if this is going to be a church where people can begin their journey. Number one, we need to be bringers. Let's look at this scripture. It came from the text we read this morning. We're going to look at one verse one more time. Look at it together. It says, news about him spread as far as Syria. And people, look at this, soon began what? Bringing to him all who were sick. So what we do is what we see here is people bringing people to the crowd. Why? Because there were people in the crowd that were kind of in the middle. These people had seen, they've heard about Jesus, but at the same time, they also knew of people that had a need. So what they were doing is they were kind of the in-between people. And they were saying, hey, to their friends who were in need, why don't you come and check Jesus out? He can take care of your problem. He can heal. His teachings are amazing. They can set you free. So it all became because they were bringers. They were bringing people to Jesus. They were bringing people to where the answer, where they were looking for, okay? So here's my question to you. And this is not just to everybody else except you. This is to you. This is a question to me. Are you inviting anyone to church? Think about it. When is the last time you invited someone to church? Some people would say, that's never happened. Or it's been 15 years. Or I think here's the saddest answer. I don't have anybody that I could invite. Because we become so Christian that that's all that's included in our circle or other Christians. But my question, are you inviting anyone to church? We want this to be a church where we're full of inviters. We're full of bringers. You're bringing people with you. Why? Because you want this to be an opportunity where they can meet Jesus. Will we be a church where people can meet Jesus? They can hear about Jesus. They can check things out. And I'm just going to give you a couple hints of how you can do this. I want to let you know our Wednesday night crowd has just been, we just kicked it off last week. And we kicked it off in a great way. We had over 60 kids here to be a part of our Wednesday night program. And I want to encourage you today, would you begin to invite kids to our Wednesday night ministries? Would you begin to invite kids to our Wednesday night ministry and saying, hey, we would love for you to come. We want your kids to be a part of what's going here on Wednesday night. And actually, one of the things we're currently doing is we're putting together an invite card that will have all the information for Wednesday nights. So you can simply have that card in hand. And when you see a family that has kids, you can hand them the card and say, hey, we would love to have your kids come with us on Wednesday night. We have dinner. We have classes. We have something for people ages 3 to 18. We just want us to be an inviting church. I want to let you know there's a lot of people out there that are just waiting for an invitation. They're just waiting for somebody to step up and ask them to come. And the opportunities are in our everyday lives. We don't have to try to think, just open your eyes. There's a lot of people just waiting to be invited. I think of Val this morning, Financial Peace University. What a great way to invite people into the church by inviting them to financial peace. There's a lot of people who are in financial ruins. They're in difficult places financially. And I think we need to be a church that said, hey, we're a group of people that are saying, hey, you know, at our church, we're addressing that issue. We're addressing the issue of how you can become financially free. And I just think we need to get this mentality that church just isn't for me, but church is for my friends. Church is for people that have real needs, financial needs, emotional needs, relational needs, spiritual needs. The church should be an open place for everyone, but we need to step it up. And I just want to encourage you today. I'm speaking to you corporately, but I want to speak to some of you individually and say it's time to step it up. It's time to increase our game. It's time to just go and step out of your comfort zone. When's the last time you invited someone to come to church? Because this is a place where you can meet Jesus. I'm thinking also one last thing, men's ministry. I think, men, we need to get in our spirit. We need to just get it in our hearts that we need to invite men, not just from other churches, but men from our workplaces, men in our neighborhoods. We need just to be inviters, 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 bringers, bringers, bringers. And I just want to encourage you, would you step out and say, Lord, who is it today? Who is it this week that you would want me to invite to church? Is it because we want to grow a great church in size? I hope not. But I hope our motive is that we believe that Jesus is here. We teach about Christ. There's demonstrations of Christ here. And we believe that Jesus is the answer that people need today. Amen? We sang a powerful song today that hope has a name, and his name is Jesus. And there's a lot of people out there that are hopeless. They're hopeless. They're hurting. And you have the answer. We have the answer. I think church should be booming. Amen. So we need inviters, bringers. Number two, we need to love the crowds. We as a church, we better love the crowds, because how many people know Jesus loved the crowds? Let's look at this verse in Matthew 9:36, what it says. It says, when he saw the crowds, referring to Jesus, when he saw the crowd, look at what it says about Jesus. He had compassion on them. Jesus had compassion on the crowds. Why? Because they were confused. They were helpless. They were like sheep without a shepherd. How many people know that sheep without a shepherd is a very dangerous place to be? And I want to let you know, Jesus loved the crowds. He had compassion on the crowds. Are we a church that loves the crowd? So here's my question here. Do we love the crowd? Do we love the crowd? Do we love people that don't believe exactly what we believe? Do we love people who don't behave exactly like we think they should behave? I think we need to be a church that loves the crowd. Jesus loved the crowd. We need to be a church that loves people. People that may look different than you, people who may dress different than you, we need to love the crowd. I was listening to a pastor down in Miami this week, and he was telling his church on his vision casting Sunday, he said, we need to be a church where you hide your purse, ladies. You hide your purse, because there's going to be people who come in here who are thieves and will steal if you're not careful. And I thought about that. A lot of people would be offended by that and say, I don't want to be a part of that. But I tell you what, that's the people that Jesus came to die for. Amen? So hide your purse. Don't even bring it. I'm just serious. We need to be a church that people that we never thought, let's invite them, because Jesus loved the crowd. Number three, we need to welcome the crowds, because Jesus welcomed the crowds. We need to welcome the crowds, okay? Let's look at the verse together. The verse says, but the crowds found out where he was going. I mean, he was trying to hide at times. Let's go to a quiet place. Let's get away from the crowds. And they followed him like, Jesus, we found you. And it says he welcomed them. Everybody say those three words together. He welcomed them. And he taught them about the kingdom of God, and he healed all those who were sick. He welcomed people. Jesus was a very welcoming person. Let me ask you a question individually, then I'll ask you a question as a church. Are you a welcoming person? And number two question, are we a welcoming church? Are we a church that truly welcomes people to come? We embrace people. Last week we gave you this gift plan, which is, by the way, available still in the back. And in the gift plan, we talked about being welcoming people. We said, hey, we encourage you to get out of your comfort zone, find someone whose name you don't know, learn it, welcome them. If they haven't came with somebody for a while, just welcome them. If they came alone, find somebody to sit with them. I see that happen this morning. That is so beautiful. I noticed that, by the way. After meeting somebody, make sure that you introduce them to other people. Find a person that maybe you met a couple weeks ago. Go say hi to them again. Call them by name. Engage in conversation. Ask them about their family. I'm just asking, could we be a church that is like Jesus? I wonder what it would look like if Jesus was a greeter. That's a kind of freaky thought, isn't it? What would it look like Jesus being? I think Jesus would be like looking people in the eye, hugging people, embracing people, loving, accepting people. So I just want to encourage us. Are we going to be a church where the people from the crowd, do we welcome the crowd in this church? Do we welcome the crowd in this church? See, one of the visions I have for this church is, one of the visions I've had for years is that this sanctuary would be filled at least two or three times a weekend. That's my heart. That's my vision. There's no reason in my mind why this place shouldn't be filled two or three times a week or a Sunday. Because I believe there's so many hurting people out there. There's so many people in need. There's so many people without hope. And we have the answer that they can come and see and experience Jesus Christ. And I'm not sure why we're holding this into ourselves. I'm encouraging us in this series. Will we be proactive? Will we get out there? Will we begin to shake bushes? And I just want to encourage us today. This last Wednesday night was the kickoff of our Wednesday night program. And right before I left to pick up kids in the van, I told Heather, I said, Heather, if we have eight kids tonight, I'll be happy. Well, my first stop, five kids got on the van. My second stop, four kids got on the van. I'm like, okay, that's nine. Let's go home. Third stop I went to was over at these apartments right down the street. We had three kids get on. So we're up to, what is that? Somebody help me, 12. And I love that last stop. I just love this last stop. And we go over here to this apartment. I love Riley, and I love Sky, and I love I look around that apartment complex, and I'm thinking, Lord, there should be so many more kids coming out of this apartment complex. And there was this little African-American girl playing on the playground, and she ran over to me, and she said, hey, can I come too? I said, absolutely not. No, I said, yes, we would love to, but here's the criteria. You need to go ask your mother. I can't just let you get on the van. You got to ask your mother. And she went in and she came back out and she said, my mother said next week. And I said, well, I still would like to talk to your mother now. And the mother came out and we had just a great talk. And the girl ended up getting in the van and coming and loving it. And here's the deal. Here's the deal in my heart. These opportunities are in all of our lives. These opportunities are in all of our lives. There's people throughout our city, our counties that are just, they need hope. They need Jesus. And we need to be a place where we can say, hey, come and see. We need to be a place where people, we can say, hey, come and hear. This Jesus loves you. And how much does he love you? He died. He went to the cross. His blood was poured out for the forgiveness of your sins. and you can have the hope of eternity. You can have eternal life in Jesus Christ. Amen. So my challenge to us is let's up the ante in the next few weeks. This is a great time to invite people back to church in the fall months. And I just want to encourage you to just begin to say, God, who would you want me to reach out to? I want to be an inviter. And Lord, help us to be welcoming. Help us to be loving. Help us to be a church where this is about people. It's not about us. It's not about attendance. But it's about reaching out to people. Because people need Jesus. So I want to close this morning. And I want to address that there might be people in this room this morning that you say, well, when I looked at those six circles, I would say that I'm a part of the crowd. You're here today and say, I'm in the crowd. I'm just checking out Jesus. I'm just kicking the tires. I'm trying to discover what I believe. And I want to speak heart to heart with those people in the crowd this morning. And I want to tell those people in the crowd this morning, if you're here, and I believe you are, I just want to say these words, welcome. Welcome. I want to thank you that you're here. I want this to be a place where we represent Christ well through the teaching of his word, through worship, through all these things. And I want to say this to the crowd. The crowd is a great place to start. But Jesus never intended for you to stay in the crowd. That's not a good place to finish. And if you're in the crowd this morning, you're just saying, well, I'm on the outskirts. I'm just checking it out. I just want to encourage you. Fantastic. But I also want to encourage you by saying, don't stop there. Don't end there. Jesus is calling you, and he's calling you into greater intimacy. He's calling you into greater friendship, greater freedom. He knows where you're at. He knows your hurts, your habits, your hang-ups, the things you're going through. And he's calling. He's saying, hey, come unto me. Come unto me. Let me give you rest. Let me give you peace. And I believe that he's calling people today, and he knows that you're just on the outskirts, and he's saying, hey, great that you're here, but come on. Come closer. Come closer. Don't be afraid. You don't need to be afraid. I love you. I died for you. I got good things for you. Amen? So can we bow our heads this morning? I think more than anything, I just want us to be just this church that's drawing closer as individuals. I just want to encourage you, Jesus is calling us closer. It's up to you. How will you respond to the voice of the Spirit? In Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. 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 Ooh.